If you hear someone talking through their nose or calling something interesting when it's clearly less than a desirable thing, it might be safe to conclude that they're speaking Midwestern, according to our next guest.
But don't tell that to us Midwesterners. A lot of us believe we don't have an accent at all, and that, in fact, we're speaking the most authentic version of American English.
In his new book, How to Speak Midwestern, writer Edward McClelland explores the origins of the unique patterns and phrases that make up Midwestern dialogue, and he joins us now. Edward, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. So are you saying that we're wrong about this idea that we in the Midwest do not have an accent, that they were the one group of people in the country who don't really have anything going on that's quirky or unusual accent-wise?
Absolutely. And that was a bit of a Midwestern accent right there. I just raised my A. That's part of the northern city's vowel shift, which is prevalent all the way from Rochester, New York to Milwaukee. It's what makes people talk about a can of pop. So I kind of wrote this book to attack the notion that we in the Midwest are the bland middle, that we're the standard, that there's nothing exotic or colorful about us. There are many different Midwestern accents, and there are all kinds of interesting and quirky phrases we have in the Midwest that are unfamiliar to any other part of the country.
How did the no accent idea come along? I mean, we think of the Southern accent, which is actually a whole bunch of different accents, and then East Coast type accents being distinctive in their own way. How did we get this self-concept that we are accentless?
Well, in the 1920s, the leading accent expert was a man named John S. Kenyon, who was at Hiram College in Ohio. And at that time, sort of the most prestigious accent was what you called a transatlantic accent, and it came up again in the last few days as people played the speech that FDR gave after we were suddenly and deliberately attacked by the Empire of Japan. And, of course, he dropped his R's there. And John S. Kenyon was from Cleveland, and he decided the standard pronunciation should be what he was hearing in northeastern Ohio. So he said, when you say war, not war. And when you say not, not not, which were features of the Inland North speech he heard in northeastern Ohio. So a lot of elements of Midwestern speech were standardized, and this was picked up by NBC, and they gave these instructions to their broadcasters. I think one thing that's made Midwestern speech a little more distinctive since then has been the rise of the northern city's vowel shift, which is said to be the most, the biggest change in English vowel pronunciation in 1,000 years.
Give us an example or two.
Well, as I was saying before, two of the big features are, one is A raising, which makes people say things like can and sand and absolutely. And the other is called O fronting, which makes people draw out their vowels. I'll give you a little bit of an off-color example that was on the TV series Family Guy. You know how they do those cutaways?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They did one of a Wisconsin woman having sex. And she was saying, oh, God, oh, God, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. And those are two examples of the vowel shift right there.
But I guess,
so the rest of the country is noticing.
Okay, so you gave the words can and and.
Can, I think, and.
Do I do that? I don't hear it. Do I can and? Am I doing
it? No, you're not doing it, but you're on the radio. You're a broadcaster. Broadcasters are supposed to not have any regional isms in their speech.
Yeah, and yet there's me. And
you're
and
doing like, it a little
some,
more.
I have some Michigan ones that I know are Michigan, partly from your book, like 5, 6, 7. I'll say seven.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm exaggerating, but every or... Yeah, there's a lot of words where you turn the E into like a short
like
U sound.
Well, that's another aspect of it. It's called short E, short U confusion. And I'm in Lansing, Michigan, which is where I grew up right now. And it's got to be the capital of that because I went to the post office today and the clerk said, that'll be 3770. Will that be debit or credit?
Yeah, I can hear it when you say
that's kind of me, yeah.
Yeah.
Another one you talk about is, you don't use the word honking, but I'm going to say sort of honking things out our nose. Is that part of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, talking through your nose. One of the example, I'm doing a book tour and I play a lot of well-known people with Midwestern accents. I play Michael Moore. He's certainly nasal. My tip for speaking Midwestern is to talk as though the lower half of your jaw doesn't exist. Just make everything go. Make everything go through your nose. There's a saying, because we also sort of really exaggerate our R's. You'll say, well, I'm going out to the garage to work on my car's engine. So there's a saying that sometimes Midwesterners can sound like pirates with head colds.
It's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, we can only aspire to that. So there's you point out that there's not just one Midwestern, there's multiple Midwestern dialects, and even variation among ethnic groups, racial groups, urban, rural.
Sure.
Can you sort out some of that for us?
Well, I identified three main dialects. Those were and they were all based on patterns of settlement and immigration. The first I was talking about was the Inland North accent, which was brought here by New Englanders migrating west along the Erie Canal and Lake Erie. And there's the Midland accent, which was spread west by the Scots-Irish, who started in Baltimore and Philadelphia. And then there's the North Central accent, which is in northern Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and Minnesota. And that was derived from the speech of Scandinavians and Germans. And Wisconsin is the only state that has all three. And one thing I point out in the book is I talk about the movie Making a Murderer, not the movie, but the documentary series. And it's interesting, I looked on a map, and on the dialect map I had, the line between the Inland North accent and the North Central accent goes right through Manitowoc County. And you can certainly hear that the Averys, the rural people, have more of that sort of rustic North Country accent, and the people, the prosecutors in the county seat, have a more urbanized Inland North accent. So there's an interesting, I guess, sort of rural urban and upper class, lower class split there that's reflected in the accents you hear in the series.
Is there an accent from the United States right now that is in favor, that people aspire to sound like? Or if you're from a particular region, do you basically think everybody else sounds just a little dumb?
Probably the Midland accent that you would hear in, central Ohio, central Indiana, central Illinois. That's kind of now considered the most accentless part, at least of the Midwest. When you go out west, I think the regional accents are not quite as strong, because I guess people lost them as they, when they went that far and mixed together. I'm just studying the Midwest. But as far as the Midwest, probably that region is considered the most accentless and not really something you can parody. I mean, some of the people I can point to that have that accent would be Mr. Rogers on TV, and you don't really think of him as having a strong accent, or John Kasich, the presidential candidate. But I don't think anybody... I could hear that he had a Midland accent, but nobody really seemed to pick up on it or comment on it.
So as you've talked about, these accents have changed, come in and out of favor over history. What do you see maybe changing now? We're all watching TV with people with similar accents. Are we getting homogenized now, or are we really keeping our accents where they are?
Well, one thing I learned doing this was that accents are always changing. Every generation has its own sound, just like every generation has its own slang. And I think what's actually leveling accents is not TV, because nobody watched more TV than the baby boomers, and they've got stronger accents than millennials. I think it's education and social mobility. A couple of weeks ago, I went to watch a Bears game on the south side of Chicago in a tavern, and I was mostly there with guys in their 50s and 60s, and they had the stereotypical Chicago accent, just what you heard the super fan skit parodying. They were asking about the squares, and the score was 13-10. Someone said, "Where are the squares?" 0 and 3. And then on the way home, I got on the train with a guy, and it turns out he was his 30s, and he was a firefighter. So nobody would have minded if he'd had an accent, but he said, "Yeah, my dad had a Chicago accent, but my mom beat it out of me. She didn't want me talking that way at all." So I think there's kind of developed an attitude that any kind of strong regional accent, no matter what it is considered kind of, I guess, unsophisticated. And you were asking about differences between races and different groups. You know, you'll find these regional accents are strongest in white people who are from the area and their parents are from the area. They probably didn't go to college and they have jobs that don't require a lot of interaction with people from outside the area. Maybe people like, you know, firefighters or police officers or, you know, hairdressers, what have you. You know, one thing I found was that the Midwest has the biggest accent segregation or variation in accents between races, because when African Americans moved up here, they were basically relegated to ghettos. They had no social or professional interaction with whites, and to a large extent, they retained the speech patterns that they had brought with them from the South.
So, Edward, we're just about out of time, but lightning round, last question. What are your favorite one or two Wisconsinisms?
Someone reminded me of one. Well, of course, fib, that's got to be one of my favorite because that's what I am.
Can't spell it out, though.
What's that, F-I-B?
Yeah, no, I said we can't spell out what that means, yeah.
You can't spell out what that means. You can't spell out what fish tab means either, but I think some people might know. I like squeaky cheese.
Squeaky cheese.
Yeah, I like, and somebody reminded me that I left this out, but I'll put it in as an extra, behind the cheddar curtain.
I don't think I've heard that, but I love it.
That's another word for the state line. The 50-yard line, which is State Highway 50, and it goes through Racine, and Kenosha. That's supposed to be the line between Bears fans and Packer fans.
Awesome. Well, we'll leave it there, Edward. Thanks a lot for joining us. It's been fun.
Okay, thanks for having me.
That was Edward McClellan, author of several books, including his latest, the one we were talking about now, called How to Speak Midwestern.